And this is Pam Sterling, and this is our special additional meeting of the Business Building Mastermind. And we're focused today on signature speeches. I'm going to put on our Q&A. And again, just want to welcome you all to the call. We have Catherine, we have Denise, we have Rita, we have Patty, we have Judy Stepp, we have Gretchen, we have Susan, we have Jeanette Rousseau, and we have Laura Cesaris. We have Trez just joined us, Jacqueline just joined us. Looks like somebody else just joined us too. Okay, so people will be joining us along the way. So one of the things that we had talked about when we started our Brave Thinking Masters program, when we talked with you all about it on the ship, is that we wanted to bring in some specialized training as we go along. And as Jen and Kirsten and I were looking at this, we felt it would be best to do this as a larger group, and that way we can sort of maximize our time, and then you're all also getting the same message. So that's how this came about. So I'm really happy to be on board with you today and talking about signature speeches. You know, this is one of those areas where, you know, we get a lot of questions about what's really the best way to formulate my signature speech. I personally get a number of people requesting personalized help, which I'm very happy to do on your signature speech. And so what I wanted to focus on today is just really some tips and some tricks and some strategies for how to formulate your signature speech and really what is the purpose of your signature speech. So that's what we're focusing on. I sent out prior to this a document, so I just want to make sure you all have it. In fact, let me just, if there's a way for you all to raise your hand, but let me, so can you guys just confirm that you received the document that I sent out?
Got it, Susan.
Yep.
Got
it.
Yeah. Tips
for
the story. Okay.
Got it.
Good.
Yep.
Great.
Got it.
All right. Okay, so let me put us back in Q&A. And feel free to drop yourself in the queue at any point should you have questions. So I just want to make sure we have a nice, clean recording. There's a few people who weren't able to join, especially because it was just scheduled over the weekend, so fairly last minute. But I'm glad for all of you who are here. Kate Moon, good to see you. We have another wireless caller on 310. Not sure who that is, but glad you're all here. So let me just talk about, first of all, the sort of the concept of a signature story or signature speech. And you know, the idea behind it is one of the most important things that we can do as a speaker, as a communicator. So whether that's speaking from the stage or teaching over the phone is we want to connect with our audience. And nothing connects us more than sharing our own story. And even within our own story, nothing connects us more within our story than sharing from sharing our struggle, saying, you know what, I was there. I struggled. I, you know, this is what it was for me. And so that struggle could be anything from I struggled with money to I struggled with relationships to, you know, Mary's signature story. She was diagnosed with fatal kidney disease. It could be I went through a divorce. I didn't know, you know, who I was, you know, and it may be, you know, lots of different things. In my signature story, that struggle was, you know, sort of going after the dream and then discovering that it's not it, and then going after the dream of what seemed like the perfect relationship to discover that that's not it. And you know, sort of, and as I survey the audience, to see if anyone else has had the experience of getting exactly what you asked for only to discover it wasn't what you really wanted, you know, 90% of people raised their hand. So that's a way to sort of gut check with the audience to say, are we connecting here and inviting my audience to engage? So I just want to flag that as a tip, as a way to engage with your audience or connect with your audience through engagement, just by asking them the simple question that asks them to raise their hand, right, is one way to engage with our audience. Let me just stay with that for a moment because I don't have it written down on this document, but I want to talk about it. So, for example, I'm going to use my own signature speech throughout, and I'm hoping you all can relate to the various parts of your signature speech as you go through this. But one of the things that I do in my signature speech is I say, you know, that when I left my corporate job, and I think all of you have heard it, so I'm not going to repeat it, but when I left my corporate job and followed my passion, my dream, which was to open an interior design showroom in Laguna Beach, California, the day I opened it was one of the proudest days of my life because I had the experience of seeing a dream in my life actually come to fruition. And then I ask, how many of you ever had the experience of seeing a dream, you know, come to life for you? Yeah, then okay, so here's the point, that we want to invite engagement and connection by asking people to raise their hand. They're with you. They want to participate with you. But we don't want to just leave it there. We want to make a point with that. So the point is, so if you've had this, so then you know, those of you who've raised your hand, so then you know that there's no other feeling on the world like that. There's no other feeling like that. When I ask the question, how many of you have had the experience of getting exactly what you asked for only to discover it isn't what you really wanted, I then follow that up with saying, then you know that there's some tough questions to be asked and some difficult decisions to be made. So whenever we connect with the audience through that type of engagement, asking them to say, yeah, I'm one of those, I've had that experience, we always want to bring it back to a teaching point that we're making, a point that we're making. All right, so our signature speech is really about creating a connection with our audience. Now, signature speeches can be, you know, they can be an hour long. You know, when Mary tells her story, she's weaving teaching throughout, and often that might take 45 minutes or an hour. It could, you know, we might be able to deliver it in 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 3 minutes. And that's what I'm going to be inviting each one of you to do, is craft a 3-minute version of your signature story. Now, some of you, I've worked with some of you before on this, and I want to invite you to, you know, you're not the same person you were a year ago or so when we might have worked on this, so I want to invite you to rework that, and then you'll have an opportunity to deliver that to me. So the point, again, of a signature story is that we're wanting to connect with our audience. So we may drop this in as part of our vision workshop. Maybe we may drop it in as part of a presentation we're doing. We may drop it in as part of the teaching that we're doing. So what's the idea of a signature story? People always connect way more with our struggle than with our strength. Okay? So part of what we want to do is we want to lead with our struggle. So part of what I've given you on the outline or the tips is that first point, that your mess is your message. So find the message in your mess, whatever your mess may be. It might have been a diagnosis. It might have been abuse. It might have been coming from an alcoholic family. It might have been I was the kid who always needed to be perfect. It might have been that I discovered I was gay. It might have been whatever your the loss of a relationship, the loss of a child, the loss of, you know, the loss of something, but it's struggle. And what we want to do is we want to tell our story, but then generalize that kind of struggle. So with Mary, you know, she tells that her story is one where she basically internalized her own negative beliefs about who she was and what she had done and getting pregnant in high school. And through that story, she masterfully pulls us through her own struggle and how difficult that was. And in doing that, I don't know that anyone sits in the audience and feels like, well, I can't relate to that because I don't have failed kidney disease. So what is it that Mary does that enables her to reach out and grab a hold of all of the audience in a way that invites them to connect with her and her struggle? Right? Actually, I'm going to open it up at this point and do a little. Because we have, you know, Mary's a master teacher for us on this. So let me just open that up. What are some of the things that you've noticed that Mary does in telling her signature story that invites people to connect with her, even though perhaps none of us in the audience have fatal kidney disease? What are some things that you've seen her do?
Pam, I think,
go ahead, Deborah.
One of the things that I see her do is connect very early on to the power of thought to create in our world. And I love it when she says, you know this. You just don't know the power of it, and neither do I. I'm right there with her. Bam.
Yeah. So this is a brilliant, masterful way in which Mary, throughout her story, draws us in. You're exactly right, Deborah, that she says, she said to me, thoughts become things. You know this. You just don't know the power of it. And then Mary will say, and neither do you, right? And neither do most of us know really how powerful our thoughts are. So she's reaching outside of the story to pull us in with her, right? I don't have to have fatal kidney disease to be challenged by this idea that thoughts become things. Now, another thing that Mary does in telling of that story around that particular point is that she also says, she didn't believe it, right? It's not like she's on board immediately. When she says to her, knowing that, thoughts become things, do you believe that, we could just will this away, and in the morning you'd wake up and be fine? And she says, no. Right? And it's kind of a relief for those of us sitting in the audience, because it's like, yeah, I don't think I'd be able to think that either. Right? So we're able to connect with her struggle. She also talks about, she connects with us through the use of commonly held beliefs that she tells about herself. So she talks about the MD, the minor deity. I put much more faith in them than I did in the major deity, right? Because that's all she knew at that time. How many of us, when she says that, can relate? So there's a number of different ways to engage our audience, but what we always, always, always want to do is start with our vulnerability or our struggle, right? And what I was challenged by. The reason we want to do that is people connect way more to our vulnerability than they do to our strength. This was such a powerful lesson for me to learn when I was actually back in seminary, and I remember taking this class, and I up until that point, so I was in my whatever late 20s, up until that point, my sort of way of being in the world was always to act confident and competent and strong, even if I felt weak or afraid. And, here I was going into the ministry, and I was really challenged around this, and I started sharing more from my vulnerability and more from my weakness than from my strength. And what happened, and just in my interpersonal relationships, is that it absolutely transformed them, that there became a level of connection that was possible that wasn't possible before that. So I'm an absolute believer in the power of this. Now, it's very important that when we share from our struggle, that we're not in the middle of our own process around that struggle. We don't want to be in the middle of our going through our chemo. In general, right? We don't want to be in the middle of going through our chemo or something where we're really raw, or my mom just died, or we don't want to be in that raw place, because we don't want to process kind of in front of our audience. So we want to make sure that we're at a place where we're able to talk about it in a way that we have enough distance from it that we have, we're not needed to sort of process with our audience. So here's the format. If you're, I'd like to leave this open if we can. So if you are making a noise or moving any papers around, if you can mute yourself, that'd be great. So here's kind of the format. And then in general, we want to, a signature story starts with my struggle. It then talks about my transformation, what happened for me. Again, Mary is like, wow, she said some words, she said a prayer. I woke up the next morning and I noticed that I had slept through the night. And then my kidney wasn't quite as bad. And then, you know, and then my numbers kept getting better. And in reflection, she realized that this woman had taught her technology, right? And what did this do? It caused her to be curious. So the next step that we share, and there's different ways to sort of think about this. I was sort of capturing this. It's my lesson. It's my strength. It's what I pulled from that experience. It's what I bring to my life now because of that experience I went through, the struggle, and then particularly the transformation. It's who I've become as a result of that, right? So maybe a better way to say it is my becoming, you know, versus my strength. And then ultimately, what we do in a signature story is that we invite others into that same same becoming. I like that actually. It's my becoming. We invite others into that same becoming. So, for example, in my signature story, when I introduce Mary, you know, one of the things that I do is I invite people that what was transformational for me and my becoming is that in a very difficult situation, it was sort of like I would be damned if I wasn't going to get what was in here for me. And so I began asking the question, what's the opportunity? What's the opportunity? What's the opportunity here for me? And that's what I invite the audience into at the end of my signature speech, is asking, what's the opportunity for you here this weekend? What's the opportunity that has your name on it? What's the opportunity that can change the trajectory of your life? Right, so there's an invitation. Now, some general points, and then I want to talk about a formula. So this is a kind of one formula of laying out a signature speech, where I want to talk about sort of my tried and true hookbook look-took formula and how to use that. So one of the other points as we're going through our signature story is that we never want to make a point without a story, and we never want to tell a story without a point. Let me say that again. We never want to tell a story without a point, and we never want to make a point without a story, even if we're doing a joke. You know, Mary tells the story of the gorilla suit, or Mary tells the story of the bank teller, right? Or the story of the, you know, the Jew, the Hindu, and the negativist. You know, all of those have a teaching point to them. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to miss the teaching points that we're making for people. So whether the story is a part of a story of my own life, or whether it's a story I'm telling about somebody else, it's a story of David and Goliath, you know, or it's a story of Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water, or it's the story of Walter, the 110-year-old guy who still had a dream. You know, any of those we want to make sure that we're using it to illustrate whatever the teaching point is that we are teaching. And this is, you know, there's an art and a science to this. So we want to make sure that we are, you know, finding stories that engage the audience, speak to where they're at, and is laser focused on teaching the point that we're wanting to teach. We don't want our audience to have to work hard to get the point. All right. We want it to be laser focused. All right, any questions to this point?
Okay. So the three,
all right. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, so really the three main steps is starting with our struggle, who I became in the process, and then inviting others in that same becoming?
No, well, there's the key one is my transformation. So if you notice on that, so I would say my struggle, my transformation, my becoming instead of my strength, my becoming and my invitation.
Great, thanks. Yeah,
yep.
I put transformation with becoming, but I see they're separate. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're two separate ones, because one is what is the experience I went through that transformed me, and then who did I become in the process? Right, because what that becoming is, wow, you know, I used to be someone who was agoraphobic, you know, and now I have the freedom, you know, of, you know, going outside and driving my car and spending time with friends, you know. Or I was someone who was, you know, who struggled with depression, and now I'm free from that. Or as someone who, you know, always struggled with money. And when I really got it, that somehow I could tap into this limitless supply, but my life changed, you know? Whatever that is. So we want to tell that. What enabled, what facilitated the transformation? All right? And it could be as simple as a question. So we'll go through this as we go through the hookbook look took. So a formula that I discovered really back in college that has served me throughout my, you know, throughout my life and various roles that I've had where I'm speaking and or teaching is this formula of hook, book, look, took. And I know it may sound a little gimmicky, but it's easily remembered, and it's something that I, you know, even if, when I'm getting ready for a Quantum Leap class now, I'm getting ready for Brave Thinking Masters class, I'll write in the margin to make sure that I have these four components in every single teaching that I do or talk that I'm doing. That hook, book, look, took are all part of that. So let me walk us through this and then talk about a bit about how these would how we would flow through these. Now again, remember we're using story to tell a point, and we're using so we never tell a story without a point, we never make a point without a story, and we're weaving that through here. So the hook is really the thing that grabs my attention. So we want to open up in a way that especially when we only have 3 minutes, or maybe we only have 10 minutes, or 5 minutes, or 15 minutes, we want to grab people's attention immediately. We want to grab their attention immediately. Now, there's lots of different ways to do this. It might be a quote. It might be a question. It might be a statistic. It might be something that's sort of shocking. It might be something that's intriguing. So Mary often uses more of a joke. In my signature speech, I say, I'm so grateful for the privilege to be able to share with you my story because I want to share with you what's possible this weekend, right? What does that do? It causes someone to say, oh, what does she mean, what's possible, right? And or I might start out something, I might start out with, what if I could tell you that you could get increase your results exponentially and work half as hard. Would you be interested? Right. I may use something that's again kind of intriguing and piques people's attention by saying, you know, maybe I'm speaking to a group of realtors and I'm saying, I know that you have speakers in here all the time who, share with you the latest tip, tricks, tools, and techniques to help you increase your business and increase your listings and increase your buyers and increase your income. But what I want to share with you today is something that if you don't have this one thing, you can have all the tips, tricks, tools, and techniques in the world, and it will never make a difference in your business. Right? So I've got someone's attention. So I may ask a question. I like using something more like that kind of piques people's attention, or telling a story that is engaging. If we tell a story, we want to make sure we're telling it in a way that's engaging. And then out of that, of course, sharing a point. So the hook is something that grabs the audience's attention. Book is the second part of our presentation, and that is where we deliver our content. Right? That's where we deliver our content. Now, I may have, so when we look at struggle transformation my becoming, all of that really is in the content section. It's in the book section. That is the heart and soul of the signature speech, is really my struggle, my transformation, my becoming. Now, there may be for some of us that our struggle actually moves into the hook a bit, but that is the heart and soul of book. Book is really, again, it's the main content. If it's a longer presentation, this would be our 3 points, our 5 points, our 7 points, our ten ways that, right? So again, that book part is the main teaching points that we're teaching. I would say in a 15-minute presentation, we don't want to make more than 3 points. In a signature speech, there is kind of a main point that we're teaching, and we come at it from different ways. So there's a main point that we're teaching, and that is, look, I used to be here. I experienced this transformation in this way, and this is who I became in the process, and now here's my invitation to you. So that is the book part of a signature speech. Now, the two additional pieces are the two pieces that often get left out. Because if I just shared with you, if I only shared with you my struggle, my transformation, and my becoming, where does that leave you? It leaves you saying, oh, that's a cool story. But there's nothing for you to do. And so we want to take it to the next step. And this is the look and the took. The look is really about inviting people to connect with your story, to look at their own life and invite them to look at where they connect with your story. So when I suggested raising one's hand, so this is not necessarily always in this sort of linear point, but we want to make sure that we have these elements in here. So I may invite someone to raise their hand. How many of you relate to, you know, that feeling of abandonment as a kid? Or how many of you have ever had that experience of, you know, whatever, telling a joke from the stage and having it fall flat? Whatever the thing is, all right? But we're wanting them to take a look at their own life. How many of you have had this experience? Or I may just say, you know, when I ask the question, what's the opportunity here for you this weekend? That's a look. That's for me to take a look as an audience member, for me to take a look at my own life and ask myself, you know, what's my opportunity here? It may be the same way that Mary invites us to look, as Deborah was pointing out earlier, that thoughts become things. We just have no idea. All of us know this. Hardly any of us know the power of it, and most of us in this room don't know the power of that. It causes me to look at myself and say, oh, I've never really thought about that. Right? So there's a number of different ways to do this. Another just really straightforward way is after we've done the hook and the book, which is the content, is to just simply invite people to take a look at their own life. One of the things, too, I'm using the language of invitation. And with adult learners, we never want to tell them what to do or direct them. What you need to do now or you have to. We know we always, okay, so the thing that, or to even say, the thing you're going to do now is, right, we don't do that with adult learners. With adult learners, we always invite. So we want to invite them into taking a look at their own life. So I might say something like, so I want to invite you to take a look at your own life, right, if I just want to do a straight-up version of this. And, you know, consider for yourself what might be the opportunities in front of you right now. Or where are, you know, what more stones are there to be turned? You know, in Genevieve Barron's Act Quickly, Calmly, Confidently, Leaving No Stone Unturned. What stone have you not turned? What stone is sitting there waiting for you to turn? Or my invitation to you is to take a look at the relationships in your life and where might you be able to use the power of forgiveness to transform that relationship. And maybe I've shared about the transformation of a relationship through forgiveness. Right? So I'm inviting people to look at their life. I haven't invited them yet to take action. And that's the took part. And this is really the power of any signature speech and any talk, frankly, that we do, is that we don't just leave people with inspiration. We don't just tell them a compelling story, but we invite them to take a look at their own life, and then we invite them to take action. So, so Mary's invitation in her story, as she tells kind of even her more extended story, is we're invited to take a look at our lives, you know, where's our area of struggle? Where may we not realize that our thoughts are creating the results in our life? And ultimately, she's inviting us to take action, either take action on our dream, take action in getting ourselves in a structure of support, take action in sharing with someone else our dream or something. There's, over the course of a weekend, there's several actions. In my signature speech, it's a very simple call to action that you wouldn't, it's not flagged in any way as a call to action. It simply is, you know, look for the opportunities this weekend that have your name on it, and when you find it, say yes, right? So there's an instruction, there's an invitation, there's more here for you. Say yes, right? It could be, let me open it up to all of you. What are some of the ways in which you invite your audiences when you've either given a signature speech or given a talk to take action? Anybody?
This is Denise.
Okay.
One of the things I do, once that they're really fired up and they're really into the story, I'll ask them open-ended questions and have the audience respond back, and then I would lay it out to them, then what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really committed to what's next?
Yeah. That's a great action step. And what I might just add on to that, or it's a great took or call to action, what I might add on to that is also offering some suggestions. So what's next for you? So what's next for you? You know, my next step was this, but what's next for you? It could be this, it could be this, it could be this. Maybe it's this. I don't know what your next step is, but I know you know. Right? Write that down. Right? So we always want to include that call to action. Is there any questions about that hook, book, look, took formula? Okay. So now, you know, I know that on the call there's varied experiences with speaking. So for some this may feel kind of basic, but I want to make sure that we're all on the same page around these next sets of things. One is that what I recommend I recommend that when you're writing your signature story that you script it out. I'm not suggesting that you speak from a script, but I'm suggesting that you write it out, because when you have, especially when you only have 3 minutes, you want to make sure that this is very carefully crafted. You cannot waste a second when you only have 3 minutes. Right, you can't waste a second. So you want to carefully craft your signature speech. So I want to suggest that you script it out to begin with, read it through, and time yourself. And make sure that you're at 3 minutes. Right. Then to free yourself up from that script, what I would do, and what I do for myself, is to write out the introduction, write out the conclusion, and write out the transitions. This, if there's anything that enables, and you know, the best speakers in the world don't necessarily know this is what they're doing, but if you, for those of you who are coming to Dream Builder Live, if you watch Mary on stage at Dream Builder Live, you'll notice that this is part of what she does, and she does it so unconsciously just because she's so brilliant at it. The thing that really makes a speaker's teaching seamless is memorizing the transitions. How am I getting from point A to point B? How do I get from my hook to my book, right? How do I get from my struggle to the transformation that happened? And then what are the words that I'm saying that are taking me from transformation to who I became? And then what are the words that I'm using that take me from who I became to my invitation to you? Right? So memorize the introduction, memorize the conclusion, but most importantly, memorize the transitions that move us from one thing to the next. You'll notice in the vision workshop outline that we've provided, that we've scripted out the transitions. For the most part, we have scripted out the transition, and that's because that's what helps you move smoothly from the introduction to the first body of teaching, to the second point, to the third point and fourth point and so on, is those transitions of what connects point B to point C and point C to point D. Right? So I suggest writing those out and memorizing them. The next point is one of what I call never show your scaffolding. And scaffolding it's just a word that I use for when we show the stuff behind the scenes that doesn't really add to the story. In fact, it just detracts from the story. So it might be something like, well, you know, last weekend I was at a conference and I heard one of the speakers tell the story. And so it was so motivating to me that I wanted to share it with you because I'm hoping that it will be just as motivational to you. Mm. And then we tell the story. Scaffolding is all that stuff that came before the story. What we want to do is just tell the story. Now, if it's someone's personal story, like I wouldn't tell Mary's story without, you know, of course, referencing Mary. I wouldn't tell Gay Hendricks' story of being on the treadmill and dreaming up $1,000 more that month without saying it was Gay Hendricks. But whenever we're telling a story in particular, we want to leave out all of that background. Or here's another version of it. When I was preparing for this talk today, I went on Google and looked up the word intention, and this is what I found. No, we don't want to do that. That's all scaffolding. So instead, what we want to do is, do you know that the word intention has three different definitions? It has this, it has this, it has this. I found it fascinating that Webster's defined it as this. Right? So we don't want to show any of that scaffolding. We want to just tell the story or make the point. All right. Now, the next point is this idea of, Susan Walsh, you might have been at this training with Les Brown. When I was trained as an LMC in September 2010, we had the privilege of Les Brown coming in doing, I say there's 3 or 4 hours of training with us on speaking. And there's something that he said that I've never forgotten, in that he said that when you speak, if we've done what we've just talked about, if we started with our struggle, moved to transformation, shared who I've become, and then the invitation to the audience, if I have never made a point without a story and never told a story without a point, if I have invited my audience to take a look at their own life, how the things that I learned perhaps connect with them as well, or my struggle perhaps is their struggle, what we want is we want for everyone in the room to leave feeling better about themselves and talking about you. To leave feeling better about themselves and talking about you. Because ultimately, the whole point is we don't want them to leave just thinking that, you know, I'm a cool person as a speaker. I'm a great speaker. No, we want them to leave feeling better about themselves. And why do we want them talking about us? Because we want, you know, speakers speak and teachers teach. And so we want to be the kind of speaker that people remember. We want them talking about us. We want them over the dinner table to say, oh, man, I saw this. I heard the speaker today. And she said this, or he said that. And they can, like, recite the story to their family over dinner. Why? Because we have made it not memorable. We've made it unforgettable. Unforgettable. So when we think about our signature speeches, we think about the stories we tell within our signature speech. How can we tell it in a way that makes it unforgettable? What makes it unforgettable? Well, one of the things that we do that or can do to make it unforgettable is that we is by painting a picture that is so vivid that the audience just literally can't get it out of their mind, they can't get it out of their heart, their body, or their soul. You know, it is something they never forget because we have painted such a powerful picture. Janet Grace isn't on this call. But a lot of you know who Janet Grace Nelson is. And if you've ever heard her signature speech, you know that she was in college and went off to a party and was riding on the back of a motorcycle with someone at night, and they hit a pothole, and she and the guy who was driving both were flown thrusted into the air about 60 feet, they figure. He in one direction, her in another direction, and the bike in another direction. And the guy who was driving the motorcycle didn't make it. And as Janet Grace says, she did make it. They airlifted her out, and she said, they spent the next 3 months putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now, I only had to hear that story once from Janet Grace, and I can recite that story to you. and I was telling other people about it and saying, oh, my God, that's such a powerful story. Now, it isn't because of what happened. It's because of the way she tells it, that I can see her flying 60 feet in the air. I can see, as she describes, that a farmer was driving down the road and saw a red cap laying on the side, and he knew something was wrong. I can see that red cap. And then he got out of his truck and he heard the spinning of the motorcycle wheel. So what's going on in that story? She's engaging all of my senses, right? I have a feeling of hitting a pothole and flying in the air. I hear the sound of the wheel of the motorcycle. I see the red cap on the side of the road in the middle of the night. It's engaging all of my senses and my emotion. So one of the ways that we make something unforgettable is by inviting people into the story by engaging all of the senses. Right? Another way that we make a story unforgettable is by the power of surprise. Right? This is true of a good writer, too. A book that I read over the break is E Squared. Some of you have read it. And one of the things that makes Pam Grout such an engaging writer is the surprise that she uses when she writes. I can't even remember the specifics right now, but just throughout her whole book, there's something that you think you know what the end of the sentence is going to be because it starts out the way that you've heard other sentences start. But it ends up in a different way, right? So Gay Hendricks is great at this. If you've ever had the chance to hear him speak from the stage, he's a wonderful storyteller. And one of the things that makes his storytelling unforgettable is the power of surprise. So, for example, we might say in teaching or in telling of our own story, couples get in arguments. This is the way that he told the story. He said, couples will get in arguments, and rather than sit down and talk about it, what he could have said is, they go out and spend a bunch of money, or they go out and engage in credit card therapy or something like that, which is sort of a cliche that we've heard before. But instead, he says, couples get in an argument, instead of sitting down and talking it through, they go out and buy some large appliance, at Home Depot. And what happens with that? What happens with that is the power of surprise, and secondly, I get an instant image in my head. Now, let me just ask, when I said large appliance, Susan, what did you think of?
Refrigerator.
Jacqueline, what did you think of?
Refrigerator.
Robin, what did you think of?
Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah.
I was muted. What did I think of? I thought of a television.
Okay. Patty, what did you think of?
Refrigerator.
Yeah. Okay. So we all get whatever our version. I thought of washer-dryer when I first heard this, But what it does is it puts us right in the middle of Home Depot, right? And we see ourselves, or we can see this couple buying this thing, and it's just, it sticks in our mind because it's the unexpected. It's a surprise. He tells the story of he and Katie meeting, and he tells, kind of gives some background to the story, and they agree to go on a date based on these certain conditions that he's now laid out for any woman that he, you know, goes out with. And he said, we agreed to meet at a coffee shop. Now, he could have said, he could have just left it there. He could have said, we agreed to meet at a coffee shop. You know, we had a cup of coffee and the rest is history. Or he could have said, you know, we met at the coffee shop and had some lunch and the rest is history. But no, he said, we met at the coffee shop. We shared an egg salad sandwich and the rest is history. Right? So what happens when he says, we shared an egg salad sandwich?
Brings you in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
what happens?
Like that?
Yeah. I can taste it. I can see it on the plate. I can smell it. So it's and again, it surprises me, so I remember it. Right? So this is one of the things that makes our signature speeches powerful. All right. So just a couple of other things, and this is also true. You know, for those of you who may have the opportunity to offer a testimonial. Sometimes for your experience as, you know, an LMC or your experience in an elite program or something like that, is that there's some key things that help us to sort of calm our own nerves and help us just be fully present and be available in a way that really serves the audience. And one is just to be clear that I'm here to serve the audience. This isn't about me telling my story. This is about me sharing something that ultimately serves them, whether it's my signature story or my signature story is part of an hour-long talk. My focus is about serving them and how can they benefit as a result of what I have to share, then I'm probably willing to be a little more vulnerable. I'm probably willing to, move past whatever my own fears are and do it afraid. The second thing is to be careful about preaching. Preaching can come across as I mentioned earlier, when we use directive language, you need to or you should or I did this and so now you should too, you know, that kind of thing, or even using the word you. Because what we want to do is we want to paint the picture that, guys, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. I love this about Mary. And you'll, you know, again, as you go to DreamBuilder Live, those of you who are coming this time, I always invite those of us who are, you know, in at this level in our coaching to on your notepad to write, to draw a line down the middle and take your content notes on one side and take your process or delivery notes on the other side. Right? But one of the things that you'll notice about Mary is that she's always using the language of we. Always, and she'll say, you know what, I certainly don't get it perfect. None of us do. But one of the things that we can do is we can notice what we're noticing more often. We can learn to fall asleep less often, and when we fall asleep, to not fall asleep so deeply. Right? You've heard her say that. So there's the language of inclusion. Know that I didn't have an idea of the power of my thoughts. None of us really do. But when we begin to grab a hold of it and begin to understand the power of it, it can absolutely transform our lives. Right? It's all about we and our. It's not you and sort of what you need to get over and what you need to do. Okay? And then there's, you know, just sort of this whole concept of sharing from my own experience, strength, and hope. And as I do that, again, it creates connection with people. So the final thing that I would leave you with before we open up for questions is just questions to ask yourself when preparing for your own signature story. So what story can I tell that shares from my vulnerability? So my guess is that, I know what's true for me, and my guess is what's true for most of us, is that there's not just one transformational moment in our lives, right? There's multiple ones. There's multiple transformational moments. Multiple moments when, for some people, there is a major event, you know, like Janet Grace's accident or someone's diagnosis or Mary's, you know, fatal kidney disease. For others of us, there are lots of different transformational moments. And so what story, you know, what transformational moment of mine and invites me to share from my vulnerability, invites me to share from my struggle in a way that I have enough distance from it and enables me to share my experience, strength, and hope that came from that, my transformation and who I became in the process, and therefore provides an opportunity for the people in the room. We may tell a different signature story depending on who our audience is, right? Or we may come at it from a different angle. One of the ways that I come at my signature story from a slightly different angle when I speak in front of a corporate type setting or business setting is I talk a lot more about leaving my corporate job to follow my passion. I put more emphasis on that than I do in a more general audience. Second question is, what did I learn through the experience that I'm sharing? So that's the who did I become? Right? What did I learn? What were my takeaways? Maybe that, it doesn't matter. You know, one of the things that I share in my signature speeches is that I needed to get to a point where I understood that if I wasn't doing what I loved in the world, it wasn't serving anybody. You know, I use the Howard Thurman quote, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do that, because that's what the world needs. So there's a learning, you know, for any of us in that transformational moment that we then learn to incorporate in our becoming. And then thirdly, what's the teaching point I want to make through my signature story? What is the one point, again, if we're doing a three-minute signature story, what is the one point that if someone walks away with this one thing, what is that? That they're walking away with that one thing, what is that point that I'm making? Right? If I'm doing a longer signature speech, if I'm doing 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, I might have 3 points. You know, here's the 3 things I learned through that experience. But when we're doing the three-minute targeted signature speech, we want to make one point and make it well. So let me, before I open it up for questions, let me just say, those of you who are in my mastermind group, one of my mastermind groups, sorry, there is doorbell just ringing. I don't think I'm getting it. Just check real quick. Okay, done. So those of you who are in my mastermind group, what we're going to be doing this next week when we meet is each of you on our call will have the opportunity to deliver a three-minute signature speech, and then I will provide to you another 2 minutes of feedback and feedback from the group. Okay? So it might be, we'll actually have more time than that, but I want each of you to come prepared this week, so whether it's Wednesday morning, Thursday afternoon, or the two groups that I meet with on Friday, to deliver come prepared to deliver your signature speech this week, okay? And for the most part, we're on Hangouts, so I'll be able to see you. So you don't need to stand up necessarily when you do it, but I do want you to deliver it knowing it. I prefer that you not read from a script, okay? You can have some notes. I'm okay if you want to have some notes, maybe an outline. So I'm asking you to deliver it this week when we meet, and then I'll give feedback on that. Now, for those of you in the group with Kirsten and Jennifer, I know that you've already done signature speeches in your group, and I know that you have submitted written versions of that. This is what I'd like to do, because this session, you may want to do some tweaking to your signature story after this and put together that three-minute version. What I'm going to ask you to do is email me, and we'll set up a 15-minute session where you can deliver your three-minute signature speech, and then I'll get some feedback. Okay? So that would be Rita. That would be Judy. Those are the only two folks that I see on this call who are in the group of Jennifer and Kirsten. Okay, so just email me. And those of you who have this recording, if you're in one of my groups this week, you'll want to come prepared to deliver your signature speech. And anybody else who's in the Friday group with Kirsten and Jennifer, just email me and we'll set up a time. Okay, so let me open it up for questions now.
I have a question, Pam. This is Patty.
Sure. Yeah,
And it relates to being able to take a signature talk and change the time of it to, you know, something shorter, longer, or whatever, with whatever time you have. How do we do that and not lose these key points? Say we start out with a 3-minute talk, but then we need to turn it into, maybe we need to turn it into a 10-minute or a 15-minute talk. If you could give us some pointers on that sometime, that would be helpful.
Yeah, so let me talk a bit about that. My guess is, Patty, is that most of us, when we write out our signature speech, it's actually going to be like a 15-minute version. and what we're going to need to do is edit more, edit to get it down to 3 minutes. So at least in my experience, we typically have more to say than we have time to say it in a 3-minute version. So I would say keep all that great material. When you write it out the first time, keep all that great material because that's your 15-minute version, you know?
Okay.
So the other thing that I would ask is so this is my transformational moment. This is my struggle. This is my moment of transformation. What I would do is your own brainstorming around what are all the lessons I learned out of that? What are all the lessons I learned out of that? But in my 3-minute signature speech, I'm going to make one point.
So we can create material for other talks then by that,
absolutely.
Really, just peel off.
Right. So a 15-minute talk or a 30-minute talk that's around your signature story, what you're going to do with that is you're going to make 3 points, tell a story, make a point, versus making one single point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
Yeah. The other thing is that it's probably not that often unless you're, you know, sort of doing a weekend like Mary does where you're telling your whole signature story for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour on stage. What's probably more likely is that you're doing a 15-minute presentation, 3 minutes of which, or maybe 5 minutes of which, are your signature talk. And so that's why it's really helpful to have this 3-minute version of your signature speech because you want to tell your signature story in your vision workshop. You want to tell your signature story in your presentations in a way that's going to enhance, you know, the points that you're making in your presentation.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Other questions?
Yeah, Pam, this is Deborah.
Yes.
So I'm curious about when you're presenting to a corporate audience and you're sharing your story of needing to follow your passion, and what it actually does is bring you out of the corporate world, do you have any concerns about how that might land with the person paying the fee for you to be there as a speaker? And the reason I'm asking that is looking at my own story, if I use basically that version of leaving the corporate world, or if I use another version that includes you leaving the pulpit as a pulpit minister, you know, both of those can leave the audience with, okay, my transformation is leaving what you're doing.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's a great question, Deborah. It's a great question. And, you know, I think that again, we talk about struggle, we talk about transformation, and we talk about who I became in the process, right? So, you know, I would probably say something, Deborah, along the lines of, you know, following my passion meant leaving the corporate world to open a showroom in Laguna, and ultimately that was not it. You know, where does your... You don't need to leave the corporate world. I might paint it red. You don't need to leave the corporate world to find your passion. Your passion might be mountain biking. Your passion may be, you know, making the relationship you have, the relationship of your dreams. Your passion may be, you know, creating, you know, a department that, you know, serves our clients at a whole new level. Your department may be transforming from the inside out. You know, that may be your passion. But whatever the point is, so what we want to do is carefully craft the teaching point, right? So I don't know that I've heard your signature story, Deborah, but what I would probably do is, what are the lessons to learn from your experience, and how can that tie back whether I leave a corporate job or not, whether I leave something or not, right? So I'm a, you know, part of the decision-making process. For example, when I left the corporate world and then went to my showroom was one of the lessons I learned, one of the ways that I've packaged this story is saying, you know, three important life lessons from a failed green business.
Mm.
And the first was to go beyond pros and cons and listen to your longings and discontent. Because pros and cons live in the land of logic, where longings and discontent live in the land of the soul. The second was to go beyond the peanut gallery and listen to your most trusted advisor, yourself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third was to go beyond the smaller dream in order to be willing to let go of the smaller dream in order to capture the larger vision and to live the larger vision. So, for example, for me, that dream looked like having a showroom in Laguna, but what I really was going after is doing my passion for a living, right? And I just didn't get it right the first time. So these are universal lessons that regardless of if I'm in a corporate setting or not, regardless if I stay in a corporate setting or leave, that those are all lessons that I learned in that process that then can be applicable to anyone, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helps?
Yeah, that's really helpful, and it reminds me of how important it is to paint things red.
Mm.
You know, like to say, you know, you don't have to leave a corporate setting to have this experience. That's just how
yeah.
I did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's very clear. Yeah, I like it.
Exactly. Paint it red. Works well.
Hmm.
All right. Any other questions before we wrap up here? All right, everyone. Well, it's been my joy to be with you, as always. And I look forward to being with most of you on our calls this week. And, again, Rita and Judy, be sure to reach out to me, and we'll set up a time. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye.
Take care.
Hey.